people are always captivated by heists. We've had, what, Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. There's the Italian Job. I mean, there's countless. The Thomas Crown Affair, all kinds of things. And then you have the ones that actually happen in real life. And, you know, it reminds me of what they used to always say on Scooby-Doo. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for you meddlesome kids. These bonehead guys who apparently pulled off a $20 million gold heist were busted because they were running guns and one of them had a moving violation. Here with more details on this and other historic heists. I've lost my notes here, so guys, you're going to have to help me out here. Tell me who our guest is. Jeff Siskind. Jeff, I'm sorry.
That's okay, John.
I got way too much paper in front of me. But listen, you are totally an expert in heists, and you don't have to necessarily be an authority about this one. But, I mean, what do you take away from this one? Because it really came down to apparently somebody showing up with some paperwork and faking their way through security and then driving away with $20 million in gold from Pearson Airport.
Well, exactly. And John, I just, in your intro, I want to challenge you on something. You called them boneheads, and I'm not sure that that's true. I think what these are people that find a flaw in the system and figure out a way to exploit it. And there is, you know, 100% we watch, you know, I watch Ocean's 11, and whether it's the old Ocean's 11 where Frank Sinatra's there in a tuxedo or the new one where it's George Clooney, all of these heists tend to have, you know, a quote unquote mastermind at the front of it. And that are looking for these flaws in the system and figuring out how to exploit it. And I have a feeling as we find out more and more information, and it's all very, very fresh, the press conference just happened. What happened at Pearson, I bet you there will be a George Clooney-type character who is the mastermind who put this whole thing together. It may be a bonehead who got them busted, but it's definitely not a bonehead who organized it.
Well, I guess for me anyway, the boneheadedness was you have $20 million in gold. Why do you have to run guns?
Well, because you never have enough, you know. you know, there's a few stories that this reminds me of, just sort of looking at history that might be interesting. In the 60s, there was a guy named Ken Leishman. And Ken Leishman was also known as the Gentleman Bandit. He was kind of the closest in Canada to the George Clooney, Frank Sinatra, Ocean's 11 character, a dapper man, a trim mustache. He also was a pilot, and he noticed, you know, at the Winnipeg airport, shipments of gold would come in from a place called Red Lake, where they would mine the gold. He puts two and two together. He gets an inside man to basically camp out in Red Lake and monitor the shipments that are coming in. Finally, Ken Leishman gets the call. There's something good coming in. So Ken Leishman, who in the meantime has gotten his posse together, they show up at the Winnipeg airport. Meanwhile, they're wearing coveralls, which they've stenciled the Air Canada logo onto it. They've stolen an Air Canada truck. They've stolen a waybill. And very similar to what I imagine the Toronto Pearson one, they show up with a fraudulent waybill, and they intercept the shipment, get it loaded right onto their truck, and they drive away with it. You know, in this case, similar to here, the boneheadness kind of kicks in. And, you know, they stole, you know, a massive amount, 600 pounds of gold. They loaded it from the truck into their car, not realizing that putting 600 pounds in a car was going to make that the back tire or the back bumper was basically scraping against the concrete as it was driving. So they could barely drive. They're you know, so worried cops are going to pull them over because their car looks ridiculous. They don't know what to do with it. They, you know, basically put it in their lawyer's freezer for a while. Their lawyer freaks out, puts it in the backyard, you know, eventually gets busted because he can't take the pressure, and the whole thing falls down. So, you know, there is, maybe I was too harsh originally, there is definitely boneheadedness, but there's also a mastermind that maybe can't anticipate that everyone along the chain isn't necessarily as smart as they are.
Okay, so what do you think the appeal of real-life heists is, or fictional ones? I mean, I guess it's that it requires a degree of knowledge, daring do, and ingenuity.
Yeah, and I think it just captures our imagination because it sort of feels like Robin Hood. Like, you know, these are 100% crimes, and we 100% shouldn't be celebrating them. I also 100% do, and it's because it feels, you know, gold from Brinks feels like, oh, you know, Brinks can get more gold. That may not be true, and that may be bad for society, I realize. But there's something about, you know, a bank heist, a gold heist. It feels less personal and less violent than a normal heist would be.
Yeah, as long as nobody gets killed, bring it on. It's not Batman. So, do you have another story you can tell me?
Well,
you're the specialist here.
I think the one that people always love to talk about, and I love to talk about, is the most infamous one in Canada. You know, the maple syrup heist, which happened in 2012.
Yes.
If people love it because it's maple syrup. If it was knitting needles, probably we wouldn't be talking about it now. But there's something. It's the ultimate Canadian heist. I don't know how much you know about it, but in Quebec, there is something called the Federation of Quebec Syrup Producers, and they're sort of they're a strategic reserve. So years when there's less maple syrup, like there was this year, they can release it into the market to keep the prices flat. And years where there's an overabundance, they keep it in this warehouse so that there's always a steady supply. OPEC does a similar thing with oil. So this warehouse was on land, rented from a gentleman who hadn't really been vetted properly because he himself had an impressive criminal record. And so he noticed that there was, 7.5 million gallons of syrup being held in a warehouse on his land. He's like, okay, this is an opportunity. There are really no security cameras around, and there's, basically a padlock locking up the warehouse. So over the course of the year, he puts together a driver. He gets a forklift, specialized forklift for these barrels, and he begins emptying out these barrels. Just to paint a picture, if you can picture the final scene of Indiana Jones, the first one, they're in that warehouse, and there's just rows and rows and rows of boxes.
Yeah.
That's sort of what this maple syrup reserve looks like, but each one is a giant barrel without a 600 pounds of maple syrup. And so to move these barrels is an impressive feat. And so what they do is they manage over the course of a year, they steal 9,561 of these 600 pound barrels, over 6 million pounds of this stuff. And what they do at first, it's quite clever, is they empty out the maple syrup into different containers and they go down to the river, they fill it with water and they put it back. Eventually that becomes too difficult. So they just begin emptying out the barrels and putting them back empty. This is where the boneheadedness may come in. That was their fatal flaw, because once a year, an inspector goes around and does a count and makes sure there's enough barrels, as many barrels as there should be. This gentleman is up on a ladder and the ladder begins to move as he grabs hold of one of the barrels, thinking he's going to be holding a 600 pound anchor. Instead, he's holding an empty barrel that almost makes him fall to his death. He clues on to this isn't good. They do an inspection and they find that there is, 6 million pounds of syrup, which is valued at $18.7 million, has been stolen. And this, very similar to this, it wasn't hard to trace who did it. There's only a certain number of people that can sell black market maple syrup, particularly at this quantity. You're going to find out who has the machine, who has the driver. And so you have a mastermind at the beginning of this, but ultimately you need a bunch of foot soldiers, very similar to what, based on the press conference of the Pearson heist, a bunch of foot soldiers to put it off. And as often the flaw is in those foot soldiers, and it absolutely was in the maple syrup heist. And I imagine, given what we just heard at the press conference, the same thing happened at the Pearson heist.
That is about as Canadian as a Mountie playing hockey.
Sure is, eh?
Thanks for this. Appreciate a good story always.
Great. Thank you, John. Pleasure talking to you.
That's Jeff Siskind. He's the executive producer of True North Heists. It's a podcast about historic capers in Canada.